You know where we see quantum computers all the time?
What?
Every time. You can look out a window. Where are you going to see a quantum computer?
Where?
You see a flock of birds, a swarm of bees, and if you happen to have a pond, you might see a school of fish.
Explain that.
Well, the flock makes simultaneous calculations, doesn't it?
Well, it's all over the place.
Well, but
it's left, it's right.
It's not the computer. It's the space in which the computer can happen. It's the Bose-Einstein condensate. It's the agglomeration of a large number that act as a single unit. And so the school moves as a school. The flock moves as a flock. The swarm moves as a swarm. And in the case of the swarm, the honeybee's waggle dance actually recapitulates the geometry at the beginning of Genesis, and we know the Egyptians and the ancients had mastery of beekeeping and et cetera. So we could even talk about how they knew all of that.
Well, how do we know, though, they're not communicating with each other through this conscious world that we're in?
Well, yes, but what does it consist of? There's recently published research into how swarming behavior takes place, which is astonishing and simple and elegant. Let me give you the
all right.
We've got links to this and pieces of the articles up on the website that we put together to back the show up.
And that's meru.org, that one?
Through meru.org, meru.org, and that'll get you to also the meeting10.com and to the website for the material that we put together.
Okay.
And the special deals and all that.
Okay.
Anyway, the three stages of swarming behavior, as has recently been published, and I'm just going to barely outline it. First, you have just a random mess of say, bees. Bees may be too good an example because they do better than most insects.
And they're disappearing. Sadly.
You should do a show on that.
We have.
I should listen.
I agree. Well, you do once in a while.
Look, I'm on the East Coast. These are rough hours for me. And the town wakes me up at 5 in the morning, even next to a nature preserve these days. Don't get me going.
We broke the bee story a long time ago.
Really?
The disappearing honeybees.
Yeah.
But that's another.
Well, do you know the waggle dance that the bees make is the same model as is outlined in the first verse of Genesis?
One more time?
The waggle dance. It's actually up on our website. There's a graphic. The waggle dance, the bees dance on their honeycomb,
yes,
and indicate where the flowers are for the other bees.
Right, they're communicating with
right.
each other.
Well,
okay.
If you look at the dance, it's basically a wiggle, 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 then they run around to the back, and they go wiggle, 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 and then they run around the other direction to the back, and they keep like this figure eight thing. They keep doing it.
Yes.
With the figure eight part, the bar in the middle pointing towards the food. And the angle is compared to the sun. Well, the model in Genesis is exactly the same model, except instead of two lobes, it's got three lobes because it's in 3D instead of 2D.
And what
otherwise, it's exactly the same model. You can actually see it.
Well, what does that tell you?
It tells me that what I'm proposing about the hand gestures generating the Hebrew and later the Greek and Arabic letters is something they could have known about. Both the neurophysiology, they would have known the homunculus and how the hand maps onto the brain. They would have known from beekeeping the behavior of the bees and how they conveyed information by pointing and using a kind of dance, a gesture to do it. And they also would have had to know about using bellows, because the way you tame bees is with smoke, and bellows make smoke rings, and that's exactly also the same geometry as the waggle dance itself.
It sounds like you're scratching the surface of intended design.
I'm scratching the surface of not needing intended design, of doing something even more astounding. I'm saying that now, this is what's happened in the last year and a half since we last did the show.
All right, what?
The Meru Project itself, after 40 years basically, has come full circle. I laid down a set of criteria that I needed to meet when we first formed Meru Foundation. That was like 1986. And among those criteria was that if there was some meaning to the sequence of letters at the beginning of Genesis, it had to, and given the claims made for the text, it had to meet the von Neumann challenge. It had to meet the conditions of a living information system, and we found that. But it also wanted to do something else. I never went to a yeshiva. I don't speak Hebrew. I don't today. I can't read Hebrew or Aramaic or Arabic. I grew up in Brooklyn. I went to James Madison High School. I was on the math team. I learned pattern recognition. What else did I? I didn't learn anything else. When I looked at the letters, I put together these patterns from nothing but the raw text. I could read translations of all these mystical literature, but none of it makes sense. You know, give me a break, people. Buy the latest translation of Sefer Yetzirah. You tell me what you think it means. I'm telling you, I think the geometry in Genesis is what it means, and I think we cracked it. But I didn't know that at the time. Like, it didn't make sense to me. So I started from scratch. Therefore, since I couldn't read the rabbinic text or the Talmudic text, or even Christian or Muslim or anything else but simple English stuff, I had to wait until we moved east and started working with people who had a background that could read rabbinic and Talmudic material and the original Kabbalistic text. And in the last year, they've come to me with quotations from traditional sources that verify that the geometries we pulled out of Genesis were known to the rabbis and the Christians and the Muslims until about 200 years ago, when apparently Napoleon pretty much killed everyone who knew.
And we lost that knowledge.
Well,
somehow.
The point is that this was all known. It was known because of beekeeping, because you need a bellows to smell the bronze and iron, and you get smoke rings when you have a bellows, and so you have a real cosmological cosmology. The way a smoke ring works by falling through itself is the topology of the Big Bang, of creation, in everybody's book, modern and ancient. So they would have had an experimental medium for understanding self-referential creation, something falling through itself. Now, we've got verification from these rabbinic texts, but we also found something else. They've had several thousand years to work on this stuff. I've only had 30 years or 40 years. So there was a lot for me to learn in the last year.